B-Pod Studios.
It's an app. Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Are you stupid or something?
Stupid is a stupid does, sir.
Now a first and goal to go for the pass. Michelle runs it left. Pollard down and tackled by Evans. Hands it to Burkhead. Runs it left. Tries to put it inside. And he's spun down. Tackled. Hands to Michelle. Runs it left. Dropped out from behind by Evans. And again, the Titans control the line of scrimmage. And the Pats and a goal to go. And here comes Nick Folt. Brady surveys the defense. Takes the head high snap. Throws deep downfield for a wide open Watson. Makes the catch. Sitting down at the 26. Back on his feet. He'll be thrown down by Logan Ryan.
Hold on. We got a flag.
An eligible member of the offense, number 69, downfield.
Brady drop back, short set, a throw to Evans, who drops it on the far side at the 45-yard line, turning to run before completing the catch.
Got a bunch of those this year.
Shoulder high snap, and Kern punts it away right to left, the line drive, bounding inside the 20, rolling across the 10, rolling inside the 5, and stopped at the 1. Patriots sold out for the block.
I don't understand that.
Are you stupid or something?
That's how you lose games, man.
Mama says stupid is a stupid does.
What level of stupid would you put this game at for the Pats, Hardy?
What, you want to like scale a 1 to 10?
I mean, some of it's just bad, poor execution.
Yeah.
Like the drops. Shaq Mason's penalty. How do we feel about Shaq Mason's penalty in this game?
I mean, I thought it was a little bit of a phantom flag, but it was the right call.
It's stupid. Like, this is like one thing you got to be aware of there. Stupid penalties. Can't take a bad penalty there at that point in the game. It was the right call. They look for that.
The ineligible downfield?
Yep.
Yeah. But Brady was scrambling a little bit.
I know, so he may have thought that Brady was going to take off there. It was a broken play, so that is,
I guess, part it was of it. Stupid of him to think that Brady was going to take off. Did you think he was going to start running?
But that's definitely part of the reason why it happened. He thought Brady might have been running behind him, and at that point, he's got to be aware that Brady's running.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Come on, use your head.
A little bit more awareness there. That's all. It, you know, stupid might be too strong for that one, but it's uncharacteristic mistakes that you see, that you look at and say, oh, no. Oh, no. Can't afford that there.
Can I just say one more thing about the defense?
Oh, of course.
Can
Absolutely.
People get over the – like, I don't think people can get over the fact that the defense couldn't make a stop against Miami. And I think they're using that for this game, too. And I think they're just completely two different games. And I think the defense only gave up 14 points in this game, and the defense had a chance on the goal line and couldn't score. And the defense gave them the football to win the game again, and they couldn't score. So please stop with the Miami thing. This is a different game. And
you I haven't mentioned the Miami game once.
I've been here for an hour and six minutes
with you. I have not mentioned that Miami
it's
game.
Kind of like Beetle versus Joe. People are on Team Beetle, I mean, not on Team Joe.
Not getting a stop in Miami had nothing to do with not being able to situationally, with 2:16 left in the first half, not let the Tennessee Titans get to the end zone. The Tennessee Titans got to the end zone and then gave you time to maybe try and do something before halftime, which the Patriots this week, if we want to revisit Miami, this week they decided they were going to try and do something before halftime.
Right.
Where the hell was that a week ago?
Well, he had to use those timeouts around the goal line because he didn't use them last week. So,
the chess match that was going on at the goal line was fun. Mm. It really was. But as far as stupidity goes,
okay,
it doesn't feel like a stupid loss.
If certain things had worked, you know, the Alandon Roberts play to me is...
Oh, that one, that play call. Ooh.
But if that works, then we're talking about brilliant. You're missing...
Josh McDaniels is brilliant?
Would you...
I'm sorry.
No,
let's
go
on Josh
McDaniels a second. We got to do that.
Okay, but
we
listen. If they hand the ball off there to Alandon Roberts and he picks up a first down, where you're saying, brilliant, you're missing James Devlin all year. Here's a guy who's coming in, and he told you a couple of weeks ago, all he does is run through a mother effer's face, whether it's offense or defense, and he took him at his word, and they gave him the ball, he picked up a first down. That's one where if he picks up that first down, nobody is second-guessing, well, God, they got away with it there. No, we're talking about that one as as a brilliant bit of personnel usage in a offense where your personnel has been an issue. So to me, that one doesn't quite fall under the umbrella of stupid. Where it's stupid is when you give the ball to Sony Michel time and time again and tell him, and just hit that hole just to the right, et cetera. No, he doesn't hit any holes. He gets to the line and he stops. He starts looking around. And he bounced it. Or, you know, they did have some success running to the edge a couple of times with Sony Michel. But down there, first and goal, and you give it to him twice. And one of those, I don't care if it's even one time, just one time, send him through the middle. That's dumb. Because that hadn't worked all year. That's dumb. I put more on that play than I do the Landon Roberts play. Because if the Atlanta Roberts play works, we're all saying, awesome, good, smart. So if Sony Michel had gotten into the end zone, I would still say, you got away with one there, because that ain't what that guy is all about.
But I feel like that's more smart. Belichick's a genius, putting a fullback, putting a linebacker at fullback. Like, that's a sexy move for Josh McDaniels. It makes him look good. How about you? And again, I want them to run the football when they're on the goal line. They haven't done that three times in a row all year long. There were times we screened. Texans game, how many times they didn't run the ball on the goal line? Three times in a row? And I'm actually surprised they didn't throw it here. And if you want to look at it, in that Buffalo game, they actually threw it to the tight end in Lacoste. I guess I can't fault them for running it three times in a row, but why are you bouncing it to the outside?
Like, there's one thing to run to the edge. It's another to pitch it to the edge. And we saw that happen a few times in this game with Michel. As you watch him, all you say is, I wish he was Derrick Henry. That's all. How come the Titans can find a guy like Derrick Henry in the second round and the Patriots spend first round capital on Sony Michel and he's not like that guy? No? Anything? No. Just wondering. 617-779-0985. Bill's in Maine. Go ahead, Maine.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Bill.
So what I got to say is the Patriots' offense have been awful all year long. We know that. The defense stepped it up. Okay, so what I'm thinking, these past two weekends against the Dolphins and the Titans, okay?
Uh-oh, that's going to make Joe mad. You mentioned the Dolphins.
I'm sorry, but I'm pretty smart. I've been following my team. I love the Pats. Okay, so I think we tanked. We tanked the Dolphins game. We tanked the Titans game.
And you think you're smart?
Because of the Cincinnati thing. And I think we got ourselves out of the playoffs, and I guarantee you we only get a fine and we don't lose a draft pick. That's all I got to say.
So they tanked their season. They lost against Miami to miss the bye. They then lost their game intentionally against the Titans to tank in order to lessen the penalties that are handed down by the NFL for taping in Cleveland against the Bengals. Okay, Maine. It's always Maine. At least you had a good phone. I'll give you that. At least you had a good phone.
That's a great call.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful. You know what?
Let's, we don't get these on the weekend.
You know, let's go to Robert in Maine. Robert.
Staying in Maine, huh?
Your thoughts, sir.
Mm-hmm. Hello?
Yep. Go ahead, Robert.
Okay. My call is about the goal line stand that Josh McDaniels as a way of killing momentum. So they're on the first down, first and goal to go.
Okay.
He called actually five plays, three of which Belichick called timeouts on. And then he runs three plays to the same place with two personnel, and they don't get the touchdown, and the game was over right there. That's where the game was lost. If they scored a touchdown there, they would have won the game.
Yeah. No, you're right about that. And I think you raised a good point. There were two timeouts there, which means they called, conceivably, we don't know for sure if the plays changed or not, but let's assume they did. You call five different plays there and you burn two timeouts because you didn't like your looks. So first and goal from the one with the ability to use two timeouts and you can't get that ball into the end zone. This goes back to our earlier conversation, Joe. Like, no, you have to score there. You have to get in the end zone there. And I know that they've struggled offensively to do that at other times, but this is the playoffs, and you have the ball at the one, and you've got to get it in.
And, Hardy, you think they called timeout, and we're like, all right, we're going to give the ball to a Landon Roberts here? Like, do you think that's what – because they called timeout. Like, that that's the plan?
Obviously, it didn't work, and it wasn't a good plan. But that's when you call timeout on the goal line. To me, that's different. Like Beto just said, it's like you've got time there. I don't like the look. I'm going to call timeout here. I'm going to come up with something real nice. You hand it off to Sonny Michel again? Send him up the middle?
I'd rather have Sonny Michel than Landon Roberts.
That was your whole plan? Get her?
I mean, it could,
you know, well, here's the other problem.
Rex Burkhead would have been.
Here's the other problem.
When
you go heavy at the goal line, too, you can't check out of it. Because you don't have your normal personnel on the field.
Yeah.
Which this team does too often. Mm-hmm. They've used it this year, and it hasn't done them any good, obviously. But when you do that, you can't check out.
Hit on the Edelman touchdown if you watch.
Going to send Justin Illuminor out there and wide out.
But you're right. On the Edelman touchdown, Edelman was out wide, and Brady was yelling, Jules in the slot. And then I don't know if that was an audible, or I don't know if we should credit Josh McDaniels. I don't know. Yeah, if you ask me, that was an audible. You're in the slot, Jules. Handed it off. Jet sweep. Touchdown.
Oh, on the touchdown?
Yeah.
I think that was part of the play. I think that
was. So you're going to credit Josh McDaniels for that?
No, I think that play shows you how desperate this team is and how creative they have to get to generate anything.
But to your point, the package that they were in around the goal line.
It was Harry and Edelman to the left on that play.
They can't do that. With the package they were in on the goal line, they can't do that type of stuff.
Correct.
Beetle, I think you nailed it. Vrabel
Thank
was
you.
In their head.
Thank you.
Vrabel was in their head.
You know why? Because he was laser focused. Laser focused for this one because the Patriots gave him all kinds of anger this week. And Vrabel, as far as he knows, is going to be the coach of the Titans at the start of next season. He's not worried about where he's going. And all those guys that play for the Titans, even if they're free agents, they're thinking about one thing. Wow, I get a chance to play in the playoffs and try and win a game? All right. Well, I got nothing else to focus on this week but that very task. New England, for the first time in a while, felt like they were thinking about all kinds of other things this week that didn't include the Titans.
Well, they weren't thinking about the Titans at all. You know, there was no thought. I'm sure there was very little thought given to the Titans before that Miami game. And, you know, this is what we hear about all the time. It's the advanced scouting. It's everything that's taking place before you know who your opponent is. And, I'm not accusing the players or, you know, anybody of looking back. They were supposed to win that game. They were supposed to win the game in week 17 that allows them a week off. And if anything, they're probably looking ahead to Kansas City. If anything, if you're getting ready, you know, it's not a lack of preparation or just blowing it off. But they weren't supposed to play Tennessee. That's why, and I keep going back to it. That's why that Week 17 loss ended up being so detrimental.
Think they were so prepared to play the Chiefs.
I think if anything, they were not thinking about Tennessee beforehand hurt them as much as maybe looking ahead to the Chiefs. They weren't thinking about playing Tennessee. We're not going to play Tennessee. We got to beat the Dolphins at home in Week 17, and they're rolling out 22 guys who are either first-year players or picked up on practice squads at some point during the season. They're not even bringing a real team up here. So we don't have to worry about that. You ended up having to play 6 days later against a team that was ready.
Beetle, Hardy, Joe Murray today. Read and React is coming up at 11:36. I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Solak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Everybody set. And now Edelman sprints in motion to the right. Takes the handoff. It's a jet sweep. He's going to get to the end zone. Touchdown, New England!
Big boy counter drive. And Brady staring at the sideline of Tennessee. You want to come in and stand on the Patriot logo at midfield? We'll give it to the ultimate Patriot. Number 11 on a jet sweep. Short motion. They double stack it. I knew it. I knew it's Edelman time right there.
Read and React is coming up at 11:36. 617-779-0985. We go to Chris, who's in Leicester today. What's up, Chris?
How you doing?
Good.
I'm a Titans fan. So when I keep on hearing you guys say Tannehill sucks, I want to bring up some stats and
please do.
You guys make a comment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's sure. that?
Yeah, please do. Let's hear it.
Okay. Brady's QBR rating this year was 88. Tannehill's 117.5. Tannehill, 22 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. His record at the last 11 games was 8-3. He was averaging 30 points, and they beat Kansas City and the Patriots didn't.
Okay. So, Chris, you're a Titans fan, so your team's moving on. Congratulations. If you could this week pick either Tannehill or Brady to play quarterback for your team, which one are you picking?
Well,
thank you. That's it. I'll hang up right there.
But I'm bump, bump.
Bump, bump. Well, okay. Thank you. Goodbye. Thank you, Chris. That answers my question. We're going to do stats now? We're going to do stats to find a way to tell me that Ryan Tannehill is better than Tom Brady. And Tom Brady had a bad year. Bad year.
QBR.
Not playing well right now.
QBR.
Okay? But if you want to get ready for your game this weekend, Tennessee, and you've got a choice of going ahead with your guy, Ryan Tannehill, or plucking Tom Brady for this weekend going forward, you're going to keep Tannehill? Really?
And just to get into this one.
Well, then I can't wait to root against you. And I actually love Mike Vrabel, and I just think that Derrick Henry's a bad man. And I think that's a fun team. I think it would be great if they won again this
weekend. I only wish Malcolm Butler were playing.
I like Logan Ryan.
Yeah.
Sure.
I wish that team well going forward. I have no ill will toward the Tennessee Titans.
One thing I wanted to mention, and he just brought up Tannehill versus Brady, but and I'm sure you'll get into the Saints game later, but what a better day, I guess, on this weekend. Was it Breeze or Brady?
The old guys were struggling a little
Ooh.
Bit. Struggling a little bit.
Struggling. I didn't see every snap of the Saints game, but it's a toss-up, man. I mean, from what I saw,
I would say they're sort of similar.
I'll tell you, this Taysom Hill kid, though, I was wrong about him. I hated the gimmick play.
And then you saw his touchdown and you thought,
oh, no, did you see the runs he had?
Yeah, no.
And then they gave the ball back to Breeze and he turned it over.
So what, you want to take Taysom Hill now as quarterback over Drew Breeze going forward?
I just think that they should have rode the hot hand. I had the Saints, too.
Derek in Foxborough. No. Derek.
Yeah, Beetle, you kind of brought up my point earlier. You watch these other teams. You watch DK Metcalf's catches in Seattle or Adam Thielen's catch in the Minnesota game. The Patriots don't have anybody who can make plays like that. And, you know, Metcalf was on the board when Belichick took Harry. And, you know, Belichick's never been good at drafting or bringing in wide receivers, you know, unless it's these – you know, mayonnaise slot receivers like Edelman and Welker. And, you know, they got to bring in receivers. Whether Brady's back or not, you know, they need better receivers.
Mayonnaise slot receivers.
Walnut.
Do you say mayonnaise or no name?
He said, I thought he said mayonnaise.
Well,
he did, right? Confirmed?
He's used that one before. Yeah. Mayonnaise, white bread.
Mayonnaise, slot receivers. Okay. Oh, that's freaking great. Adam Thielen, to me, doesn't fit that category. It's the young rookie second-year receivers across the league that you look at and you say, man, how is it that the Patriots haven't managed to find one of these guys?
Right. Especially when these guys are available, you can't use the excuse of, well, you're drafting 31, you're drafting 32. No, there were times when you could have had these guys.
Hmm. Humphreys chose Titans over the Patriots.
And, well, Humphreys is a different story. That's, you know, that's not someone you had a chance to draft, but you could have, you know, you could have paid him. Yeah. But even with the money you offered him, he ended up with Tennessee, I think, for a little less money. Yeah.
He said he didn't want to go against the agreement that he made with Vrabel.
Mayonnaise, you know, whitey, and all those things.
Oh, that's right. He did say that.
I have no problem with Edelman or Welker or any of the guys that they've had in there at slot receiver over the years. What I do have a problem with is people just assuming if you get like a stud wide receiver or a downfield threat, Is Brady going to be able to connect with him and utilize a receiver like that to
their
full advantage?
I would hope so.
I don't know. Although his throw to Dorsett.
You see his pass to the end zone to Dorsett?
That was something special,
Hell
boy.
Hell of a throw.
He had some zip on that thing, and it wasn't some balloon ball that he just chucked up there. That was thrown where it was supposed to be. A different receiver comes down with that one. I
will say it was nice, though, that the Patriots did limit A.J. Brown to a catch. There's some credit for the defense, Joe. A catch.
Was that part of the game plan? Take away A.J. Because Corey Davis let him up last year.
Yeah. But A.J. Brown has had a good year.
He's one of those rookies,
which made me think of this. One of those young guys who had a good year. A.J. Brown was drafted late second round.
One of Tannehill's eight completions was to Brown, yes.
Yeah. Who'd you rather have, A.J. Brown or N'Keal Harry?
I mean, just the eye test says A.J. Brown.
Yeah, the eye test. Well, that's eye test is helpful when you're looking at football players.
I haven't given
up. Deciding
on
which one you want.
Yeah, but if I watched the two in college, it was a N'Keal Harry, and I know it's a different step, college to NFL. I'm not giving up on N'Keal Harry.
Yet. I'm not either.
No.
I'm not either. They just needed a guy. They needed
more
this year. They needed to hit on someone who was going to contribute right away.
They swung and missed all year long. They did.
Swung and missed. Good way to put that. Ned's in Brookline. Ned.
I think the Patriots should get Dak Prescott and Amari Cooper, get rid of Tom Brady, and Julie Edelman. Move on from those guys.
Yeah, fixed. Boom. There it is.
Prescott available?
I don't think he will be available, but...
Well, I think the McCarthy thing is out. I actually had thoughts about, like, if Brady was going to go to Dallas or whatever. But Dak could be... That's the only time I was thinking he might be available.
Is if what?
If I don't know, Brady or somebody else went there.
I don't think he was ever going to be available.
No, I saw the betting odds of where Brady could end up, and Dallas was at the top, near the top of the list.
I never thought that was a real thing. It's not happening now, that's for sure.
Not now.
Hardy's head hurts.
And Baker Mayfield in Cleveland was actually at the top of that list of the destinations for Brady.
Also don't think that's happening. Jim and Everett. Jim.
Yeah, with hindsight being 2020, I think you keep hearing that Vrabel, Belichick, and all that. What I think Belichick would do was use like a Vrabel clone. All those touchdowns that Vrabel caught here in New England, I think it was like eight of them. Put someone like Jamie Collins, someone who could handle the ball or whatever. And if it wasn't there from the 1 yard line, I mean, this had to be in your bag of tricks or whatever. What's the worst? Brady throws it away and you're back at the one instead of losing 2 yards? And then it gives another team something to think about. Look at what he's doing now. You know what I mean?
Now, there's something to just not running the ball when you haven't had success doing that. I don't know if you need to bring in, you had a Landon Roberts.
Yeah, Roberts.
Get a Landon Roberts.
Caught a nice pass last week.
He did. He did have a nice
linebacker catch. Turned offensive player.
The more I think about it, I don't mind the Landon Roberts play.
Headlines with Joe. Read and react.
It could have worked. That's my point, Joe. We don't know. You know it's not going to work handing it off to Michelle down on the goal line, but, you know, third and short, middle of the field.
After a timeout,
Landon Roberts.
Though, that's my problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
It could have worked.
Read and react is next.
We didn't know.
Zulak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand. It's time to read.
Raspberries, apples.
And react.
How long does it take you to go to sleep?
With Zulak and Bertrand.
Put them on a glass.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Marine react. Joe Murray's running the show here.
Do you know how to do this,
ready,
Joe?
For this?
I don't know, but let's do it.
Three.
Set. Fuck! Always appreciate Joe's confidence.
All right.
Wild card weekend began with the Texans hosting the Bills. Josh Allen and the Bills nearly pulled this one out, but fell 22-19 in overtime. Here's the Bills QB on the loss.
It's a bitter taste. You don't want to lose that way. You don't want to lose anyway. But again, hats off to the Texans. You know, they kept battling. They stayed in there. Made one more play than we did. You know, that's what it came down to. And, you know, take this into the offseason. Use it. Let it fuel me and continue there.
They had so many chances in this game.
That was a game where you didn't want either team to win. Don't let either team win this game and advance in the playoffs. No team should be rewarded from that contest.
That's a stolen take. You stole that from Gasper.
Whoa.
When did I talk to...
That's theft.
When did I talk to Gasper? You were doing that. I was doing my own show. How am I going to steal that from Gasper?
True.
You say in the pregame?
It was. On the extended pregame. We had an extended pregame because the Patriots kicked off late.
Well, I didn't hear it. I was eating chicken parm up in the press box.
You always go get that good meal up there, don't you?
I
should start doing that.
Yeah, you should.
Not that I need it. But he said that. He said, this game is awful. Right as it ended, he said, neither one of these teams should be allowed to advance.
Yes.
They should both be sent home.
Obviously, it's not a unique notion.
But
which one of those teams
lose more? Buffalo. You clowns.
Buffalo. Yep. Just one thing. There was a 4th-and-1. All the Texans had to do was get a first down to win the game. Bill O'Brien went for it and got stuffed.
Was that unbelievable?
I actually liked the call. I don't want to give the other team the football. And they came down, kicked the field goal, and tied it. So, like, but if that was with the Patriots, and I feel like the same thing. Patriots had the ball in the Tennessee 47, 4th-and-3, and punted. I still would have went for it on that call. So, I actually credit Bill O'Brien for that, even though they got stuffed.
I just thought it was unbelievable that they got stuffed.
Yeah, like the quarterback sneak.
Yeah, like, I was surprised that they got stuffed, not that they went. Going for it, I agree. Ballsy, but worth it.
Yeah. All right, moving on.
To the people who've been with us through this thing, those board operators.
Up and down.
I love you.
I love you.
React.
I love you. Timing.
Up
for Joe.
And down the line.
On Sunday afternoon, the Vikings took down the Saints on the road, 26-20. Vikings QB Kirk Cousins was asked post-game if he had a message for his naysayers.
Oh, you don't have an I told you so feeling for all the people who said you couldn't win a big one or lead a winning drive or anything like that?
It's fun to be able to win and to feel like you're moving forward. But my journey has always been one of, like the book The Dream Giver, when you climb a mountain, you sit there at the top and you look around and you realize there's only more mountains to climb. And so, being a 4th-round pick and kind of working your way up in the league, now you win a playoff game, guess what? You look around and you realize there's more mountains to climb. You want to win another playoff game. You want to get to the Super Bowl someday. You want to win a world championship. So you just keep chasing the next mountain. And there'll always be people, who are going to criticize you, and that's okay.
I sort of understand why Kirk Cousins sucks. Because when he went to Minnesota, they handed him 3 years, $84 million, and they fully guaranteed it, which is sort of a big deal in the NFL. To shorten this up, they got to put all the money in escrow when that happens. Still, they're going to get rid of that rule eventually. They put it all in there. Like, here it is for Kirk Cousins. I'd have a hard time being motivated, too, if they handed me $84 million. I don't know about all this dream giver crap he's talking about, the mountains to climb, blah, blah, blah. I'd be like, you idiots gave me $84 million, and I'm going to see every last dime of it, no matter what happens here.
He made a couple of amazing throws.
He did.
Big-time
throws.
But just
big boy ones.
To read a quick description of the dream giver here, Beetle.
Yeah.
The author begins with a compelling modern-day parable about a man named Ordinary, who dares to leave the land of familiar to pursue his big dream. I can't wait. I can't
just remember,
grasp the symbolism here.
Combined record before yesterday in prime time and playoff games for Kirk Cousins, 7-16.
This is like,
how come he didn't start climbing the mountain like 2 or 3 years ago?
I don't know.
Why'd he wait until this year to say, I'm going to climb the mountain?
But he's reading books from like philosophy for 4-year-olds section of Barnes & Noble. A man's name is Ordinary, and he leaves the land of familiar
to pursue
something called Big Dream. What does it all mean?
I'd expect this crap from Kyrie Irving.
Oh, yeah. He actually spoke this weekend.
Shut up already. Well, what did he say this weekend? We'll talk later.
His Instagram. By the way, I got to give RJ Bell credit. He was on this show.
Oh, from one gambling bro to another.
He was on this show and said to take the Minnesota +8, and he nailed it.
Joint practices with the Tennessee Titans.
React. I don't even think the line was at 8 yet when he said take it. I think it was at 7.
Mm, 7.5 at kickoff yesterday.
Yeah.
That game ended in controversy once again. It appeared Kyle Rudolph got away with a push-off and the game winner. Here's Sean Payton post-game on the no-call.
An explanation on the last play. Did you think it could have been okay?
I listen,
That wasn't. I didn't really. I didn't see any officials. I saw Mike. We chatted for a little bit and saw some of the other players we coached in the Pro Bowl and congratulated them. And they did a good job. They played well.
Wow, taking the high road on that one.
Well, yeah, because I don't think Sean Payton had a perfect game either.
No, he didn't.
So I think that would have come off as being really bad, a bad look for him.
It's just tough when you are the same coach of the same team that whose season ends on a no-call pass interference 2 years in a row. And it wasn't, of course, nothing as egregious as what happened against the Rams in the NFC Championship last year. That was next level. But, yeah, there was a push. And once again, the NFL looked at it. They looked at it as quickly as any play they've looked at all season long. They looked at it quicker than the Patriots Super Bowl touchdown against Atlanta. I mean, that was quickly reviewed, and they said, nope, nothing there.
That was Rob Gronkowski, they would have called it. That's all I know.
Well, right. You knew that they weren't going to overturn it just based on what they've done all year long with the pass interference. So I'll
tell you what, though.
I'm not surprised.
That guy at the Whole Foods is going to be ready for him. The guy at the Whole Foods that gives Sean Payton the business.
Oh.
Guy in the meat counter is ready to go today.
Yeah,
sure.
Wait till he circles back around after visiting the organic kale aisle. It gives that butcher a piece of his mind.
By the way, Kyle Rudolph, another guy the Patriots had a chance to
get. You know, Jared Cook.
It's for the boys. I think the boys, and they're for them, so we're for the boys.
React. Jared Cook looked good yesterday, too.
And, of course, Sunday night, Eagles fell to the Seahawks 17-9. Carson Wentz left the game with a concussion. Josh McCown had the opportunity to play in the playoffs.
Yeah, thankful. Just, you know, my wife and my family have moved around a lot and been a lot and been there for me. And so, and mom and dad and
Jim Stouch.
So to go out there and get to play in a playoff game was special. And and I can't thank them enough for their support. And it was a heck of a ride. I left it all out there. I know that much.
Yeah. Sit your ass down.
It's different playing at 40.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, my God.
Glad you got a chance to experience it because Carson's going back in.
I mean, dude, he was a high school coach at one point this year. They brought him back.
All right, it's a nice story.
God,
it's a nice story.
Didn't he come into the league the same year as Brady? Isn't that true? I have to look that up.
I just can't take the blubbering. We'll just stop it already.
Oh, man.
No,
he came in.
They're wearing the Titan navy blue shirts with the Carolina blue light pants.
React. Do you think that the
2002 was his first year?
Do you think Clowney's hit on Carson Wentz was dirty? Do you think it was a bad hit?
No, I think that hit happens every single game.
Yeah, especially when he's out. He's a runner. Now he's a runner, and
is it a hit that can be dangerous? Yeah, but it doesn't make it dirty necessarily.
And once again, here's another example of a defender trying to knock the ball loose. It looks like he's, you know, lowering his head and going in with his head. He was getting his arm down there. Look at his arm. Look at it on the replay. He's trying to punch that ball out. That's why he's going down so low.
How do you feel about them moving on from Nick Foles now? I mean, that quarterback situation is really
something else.
It's upsetting.
I mean, Carson Wentz suffered a concussion. Like, that, what are you going to do?
No.
Just, I don't know. I guess I don't feel bad for the Eagles, so.
Oh, I hate the Eagles. No. I'm happy they lost. See you later. 9-7. You played in the worst division. Get lost. Goodbye. Get out.
They could have still won that game yesterday.
Get out. Much happier to see the Seahawks advance.
By the way, Peterson on that final play, they went for it on fourth down. They should have kicked the field goal, kicked it off. They still had timeouts. They didn't. That's why they're stupid.
Pete Carroll's the oldest coach in the league?
Yes, older than Bill Belichick.
They said that last night when he was in the locker room and like dancing around. Man, whatever that guy does, he's got the answer. He looks maybe.
Yeah, it's like grad students at USC.
He looks maybe and acts maybe 58, not 68. Grad student.
He said, whatever he does. There you go. Thanks, Joe. Good job there for a first timer.
You know,
excellent.
Think he does?
No, it's been confirmed. Reports.
He did?
Reports. Yeah, Google it. 617-779-0985. We will, of course, talk a little bit about the future of the Patriots, not only with the quarterback. Speaking of head coaches, older head coaches, what about Bill Belichick? We'll get to that coming up as well.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What's up?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Yeah, whatever.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I love the Patriots. I mean, they obviously, they got it's the greatest organization, and, you know, playing for Mr. Kraft all these years, and for Coach Belichick, I mean, there's, you know, there's nobody who's had a better career, I would say, than me, just being with them. So I'm very blessed, and I don't know what the future looks like, so, and I'm not going to predict it. So I wish we'd have won tonight. Wish we'd done a lot of things better over the course of the season, but we just didn't get the job done.
Tom Brady, after the game on Saturday, I thought he handled that entire press conference pretty well in terms of saying the right thing, striking the right tone. Yeah, the game just ended, but I love this team, love the Patriots. It's been a privilege, or however he put it, to play with, you know, for an owner like Robert Kraft and for a coach like Bill. And he also left everything sort of open-ended, admitting that he doesn't know what's going to happen. And I think that's honest. I don't believe Tom Brady knows how this is going to play out. I think Tom Brady has desires in all of this. I think his number one choice would be staying here in New England, continuing to play here, and also getting the money that he believes he deserves.
That's a stone to take from Bob Sosia this morning. That's exactly what Sosia said.
Except I've been saying it on this show for a month.
Sosia said it first. He said it first. He said it this morning. And I think you're right. I think in that Tom Brady probably hadn't made up his mind. He didn't know.
I mean, in a sense, it is made up, though. What's your number one priority? Stay here and get paid. And then if that doesn't happen, he's got to adjust and figure out what step two is. And maybe he's got an idea what step two is, too. If you had to figure out between, this is my question, to advance this a little bit, because we can't keep just talking about the same thing here with Brady and his future and what does he want, okay? Because I don't think he knows how it's going to play out, but I think he does prefer staying here and getting paid. Who's got a bigger decision to make here? Is it Brady or is it the Patriots? Or who doesn't have their situation figured out at this point?
Patriots.
Brady or the Patriots?
Patriots.
It is. It's the Patriots. Mm. They've got to figure out what they want. And that's going to require a meeting between Bill Belichick, I assume, more on that in a moment, and the owner, Robert Kraft.
Right. Because for Brady, yeah, I think we can accept it as truth that he wants to play and he wants to win. But if he didn't play, obviously he'd be fine. Or if he had to play somewhere else, that might be weird, but I'm sure he's daydreamed about the notion. It could go either way. But first things first, he wants to stay in New England, get paid to play here. That's pretty easy. Patriots have a much tougher things to go over and think, how are we going to make this work?
Do we want him? Do we want him to stay? If the first part is yes, then there's a second part for them. Huh. Yes, we want him, but how much do we want to pay him?
Right.
And we want him at $23 million, what he made this year, right? Say they say that. Yeah, we'll keep you, but you got to make $23 million. If they go to Brady and say, yeah, we want you, and it's $23 million, now the decision-making is back in his court and not theirs. Mm-hmm. They've made their call. He now has to figure out what his will be. Is it to just say no and leave and go elsewhere, undoubtedly for more money? Or is it to shop himself, get the offer, and try and squeeze more out of them? And if they say no, then he turns around and he's going to leave. That's how I think it's going to go. And although I think, you know, a lot has been made of that he won't take the hometown discount. A lot of people have said that in recent days. People that are close to him, people that talk to the people in his camp. There won't be a hometown discount. I don't think that's hard and fast. I think some of that is posturing. If Brady goes to the market and a team says, we'll pay you $30 million, and he goes back to the Patriots and they say, nah, we can't do 30, but we'll do 27, he won't leave. And there will be a discount. It'll be a lot smaller than what it's been historically, but he won't leave. Well, you're gonna let, you know, a few, and as crazy as that sounds, a few million dollars get in the way. I don't think he will. I think he'll stay. He's going to say, no, you're in the ballpark. I'm staying.
It's all about guaranteed money. And
of course.
Believe it or not, I think the Patriots can give him the most guaranteed money. But the way that their salary cap is set up, other teams will have to adjust their cap. the Patriots can either throw deferred money at him.
By the way, given the short-term nature of this deal for him, I believe we're talking about a deal that is almost entirely guaranteed, no matter where he goes. Yeah, so
which teams can give it to him? That's what it comes to. The Patriots can.
You're telling me the cap is going to get in the way of that happening?
No, but I think the Patriots
for any team that wants him
money where other teams can't. It's the same thing that happened with Drew Brees last year with the Saints.
The salary cap can be manipulated in a number of different ways. Mm.
They couldn't do it last year.
A number of different ways.
They,
and the cap's going up.
They absolutely did it last year. There's no way they can get another receiver, and all of a sudden Antonio Brown is here, and they're paying him $9 billion when they only have four.
That's because Brady freed up $5.5 million.
Okay, well, yes, there are ways to manipulate
it. Well, they needed things to happen. It wasn't.
Yes, and you make things happen to make room. I'm not saying it's the best idea or you can do anything. All right, there are limits. But when we're told over and over again they can't go get anybody. They've only got $4 or $5 million, and that's not going to be enough to get one of these guys. And all of a sudden, Antonio Brown is here, and they paid him $9 million to play one game. Like, oh, they somehow managed to find that money.
I don't know. Could that have been the difference between Emmanuel Sanders and Mohamed Sanu? I don't know.
Yeah, and that's again. I'm not saying it's like they're all smart decisions, but to say that you are handcuffed by the cap for getting Tom Brady's services for another year or just about anything else within reason is ridiculous. We've seen it too many times. There's ways to work around it.
Yeah, and the cap's going up like $8 or $9 million again. It's gone up $10 million every year, it seems like, for 5 years, but it's going up again. So every team's going to have like an extra $9 million on there. The cap. We're not going to let no team is going to let the cap get in the way of Tom Brady coming to their team if they think they can get him.
Including the Patriots. And, yes. And if that means they're going to lose guys on defense and they're not going to pay big money to replace them, all right, we'll move that money over to the offense. We might have 10 more points scored on us on average every game this year, but we're going to make up for it with a better offense. There, it's done. I figured it out.
So I think money plays a factor. But I think if he does get to that point where it's like, okay, 30 versus 26 or 27 – he turns around and he'll say, yep, I'll come back. You want me back and that's what you want me to take? Fine, I'll do it. But I'm only doing it if you're going to commit to actually the team, you know, being good again.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to go through a rebuild right now. And you got to get me some guys who can catch the football because the guys now can't.
Well, we're not going to have as good a defense.
Whatever.
I don't care.
What about OTAs?
You know what his easy argument to that is? Hardy, do you know what the easy argument for Tom Brady is? Oh, your defense isn't going to be as good. Well, our defense wasn't very good at the end this year.
Joe Murray says
I disagree with that.
How was the defense over the second half versus the first half?
It was not as good. But yeah, the offense was much worse.
Yeah, they couldn't play well against the good teams.
But the offense got worse, too.
Couldn't get stops when they needed them. They couldn't get a lousy stop against Miami. They couldn't stop a 4-11 team at the time on their final drive at home. Oh, how great was that defense last year? They couldn't even stop the Dolphins.
Well, let's say for the sake of argument, Beto, you can't do both. You can't keep the defensive players or improve it. You can't bring the defense
back. By the way, they're losing bodies left and right on that defense.
Right, well, this is what I'm saying, right? You can't keep the defense together and improve the offense. So you have a choice to make.
What's the quicker build with Tom Brady, a defense or an offense?
Offense.
Boom! Just add water.
And sugar.
Concussion water. Let's just add concussion water. Boom, you're done. Seatbelt for your brain.
Stop.
It is. The future of Bill, though, factors into this as well.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.